Right. Beating heart. That's a live heart. How do we test? What ways could we test, work out whether our heart is beating? Whether we've got a live heart or simply a dead one? Let's think. Right. There's one way we can do this through a stethoscope. So let's try this. Who wants to try it? Lucy? You see Amy's heart is beating. There's one way to find out is if we listen to it. We can actually feel our heart to see if that's working. You got another way?
The heart is actually in the middle of your body. Most people think it's on the side.
I don't. we'll see a funny clip at the end, actually. You'll see someone actually put the hand in their wrong place. But yes, we can feel it. You can all feel, hopefully, you can all feel your heart pumping away. We know it's a live heart. Of course, there's much more complicated ways. We can actually hear it and see it actually beat in terms of electronics. We can test that the heart is live. It's actually a living one, not a dead one. Very important. There's a good sound there. I don't want to hear any other sounds. James says our faith is very much the same thing. We've either got dead faith or a live faith. It's either got a beating heart or it's dead. It's just not doing anything. This is what James is trying to help us to understand here. What he's saying is that live faith, faith that is real and living, actually does something. It can be tested or measured in some way. Just as exactly the same way that you want to test a heart, our faith in its way has its own heartbeat. So we might see something that looks like a heart, and it feels like a heart, but if it's not beating, it's not a live heart. And our faith is exactly the same thing. We might think we've got faith, it might look like faith, it might smell like faith, but if it doesn't produce anything, then James says that's just dead faith. And there's a way to test this, James says. One way we can look at this is if we're just full of empty words. This is the first thing that James tells us. Have we just got empty words for our faith? Because we can all say that we're going to do things, and we could all make a song and dance about all sorts of things. Unless we actually do it, our words are just empty. Unless our actions match what we profess, they're just empty words. Let's pick up from verse 14. What good is it, my brothers and sisters, if someone claims to have faith but has no deeds? Can such faith save them? And this is why it's important, because we're talking about saving faith here. Verse 15, suppose a brother or sister is without clothes and daily food. If one of you says to them, go in peace, keep warm and well fed, but does nothing about their physical needs, what good is it? In the same way, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, is dead. So what James is saying is, like, if someone in church phoned up and said, look, we've got a real problem here. We really need to get to the hospital for this appointment, but our car's broken down. And you phone up someone in church, you know, you see someone comes week in, week out, you think, oh, I'm going to phone this, I know this person's got a big enough car to take us to the hospital. You phone them up, and all they say to you is, oh, what a shame. Okay, never mind. Goodbye. Well, that would be your look on the phone. And hang on a minute, I need some help here. And empty words that James are talking about is what we see so often in this world today. So instead of getting help, instead of the person saying, yeah, sure, no thing, I'll be right round, I'll pick you up, take you to hospital. Instead they say, you know what, I'm not going to pick you up, but what I'll do is I'll put a little picture of a broken down car on my Twitter account just to show that I'm thinking of you. That's what so many people think faith in action looks like. Put something on their Twitter. Those aren't the deeds that James is talking about. And that's why throughout this we'll see that James often comes back to what's the key defining factor that Jesus says marks us out as disciples, someone with faith. is our love for each other. Our love for each other. Genuine faith, just like genuine love, is seen in its actions. If there's no actions, if there's no deeds that follow the profession of faith, then it's just like a dead heart. It's not working, not beating. So faith is not just empty words. And faith is much more than just knowledge. Faith is much more than just knowledge. And this might be alarming to some of us to read some of these words. Verse 19, James says, "You believe that there is one God." Good. Even the demons believe that and shudder. Even the demons believe that and shudder. What's he saying? What's James saying here? What he's saying is that knowledge of something does not equal faith. Just to know something is not proof of faith. Knowing God, living for God, having faith is not an intellectual exercise. We can think or have knowledge of all sorts of things, but if we don't act on it, it means nothing. That knowledge means absolutely nothing. Verse 18, but someone will say, "You have faith, I have deeds." Show me your faith without deeds, and I will show you my faith by my deeds. You believe that there is one God. Good, even the demons believe that and shudder. Knowledge on its own is not enough. The devil knows there's a God. He's got knowledge of God and all his demons, but they hate him. They fight him. So that knowledge doesn't produce saving faith. That's why it's never just enough to say, "Yes, I know there's a God. I acknowledge there's a God." The question is, what does that mean for your life? What does it mean to know God? Knowledge on its own is not enough. You can have knowledge that there's a hurricane coming, which is a regular event in Miami and in Florida. You can think, yeah, there's a hurricane coming. I'm aware that there's a hurricane coming. But do you know what? I'm not going to do anything about it. I know the hurricane's coming, and that's enough. The knowledge is enough. And we'll just sit on the beach and watch it roll in. That's what James is saying. Knowledge on its own is not enough. What's it mean that the hurricane's coming? It means that you need to change something. You need to board up your house. You need to be prepared for when the hurricane comes. Knowledge on its own is not proof of faith. You can think that there is a God, but we live our life our own way. We can know that there's a God, but we don't trust him. We don't have faith in him. And many do. Many live their lives that way. And the key thing, what James is saying, key thing is to not only understand God, but understand what it means for your life. God is God of and over everything. God is God of everything and everyone. He's both Lord and Saviour. And this is the key thing. He's Lord and Saviour. That's why James talks about saving faith in verse 14. He must be Lord and Saviour. If he's only our Lord and not our Saviour, then we have no motivation to live for him, no motivation to trust him whatsoever. What's he done for me? If he's only Lord and Saviour, that's how, if he's only Lord and not Saviour, that's how we view him. If he's only our Saviour and not our Lord, we might be thankful to him in the same way that we're thankful to a lifeguard. Well, thank you for saving me, but I'm not now going to live for you. It's got to be Lord and Saviour. And only then will that faith produce deeds. Either way, if it's just empty words and just knowledge only, James says that faith is dead. It has no evidence of saving work in your life. If he is Lord and Saviour, then it means that not only do we obey and trust him, that we actually live for him. We trust what he says. We trust what he's done for us. And we're compelled to do that. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, 14 and 15, we've seen these verses so many times. For Christ's love compels us, because we know he's our Lord and our Saviour. That's the sort of faith that James wants us to get to. So let's see how we can test for living faith. What does living faith look like? Well, living faith is words and actions. Not empty words, but words that follow with actions. Just like this heart. If the heart's beating, we know it's live. We know it's doing something. It's pumping the blood round the body. We know it's real. Our actions prove our faith is real. Just like the presence of blood going around the body to prove that the heart is working as such, our actions prove that our faith is real. And that's why this book of James is so important. This is why the challenge of James is to walk the walk. Don't just profess you're a Christian. Live as a Christian. Live as a Christian. This is all about taking the leap of faith. And let's see if we can test this. Let's see who wants to try the leap of faith. This is been tried many a time. Do you want to have a go, Ames? Right, I want you to stand on there. Okay? Turn your back to me. And just fall backwards. Okay? Now, do you trust that I'm going to catch you? Do you trust?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, you weren't quite sure there, wasn't it? So, if you weren't sure, what would you do? You wouldn't do it, would you? Right, let's see. Let's see you take the leap. Go for it. Oh, you thought for a second, didn't you? See? Do you want to go, Lucy? Now, do you trust Daddy to catch you?
Yeah.
Yes? If you didn't, what would you do? You wouldn't do it. This is the leap of faith. This is your actions are showing that you've got faith. Amen. I bet you thought for a second, didn't you? That's faith in action. Without falling backwards, there is no... Do you want to have a go, Nancy? You sure? I'll do it right down here. You sure? You can do it from top of here. The actions demonstrate that there's trust there. There's faith there. And what James does is he shows us an example of two people in the Old Testament, Abraham and Rahab, to show, yes, they demonstrated, they proved that their faith was real by their actions. The first one, well, remember we looked at this from Hebrews 11 when we went through, I can't remember when that was, last year, I don't know. It's all the years blow into one. But remember, in the famous chapter in Hebrews 11, what faith, what is ultimately faith in God saying that we're doing? It says that we're looking forward beyond our circumstances. So remember, it's not about life now. It's about the life to come in the new creation. And at the same time, we're looking up, we're trusting in God, and we're looking beyond the evidence in front of us. Faith is to do both those things. Lack of faith means we're only looking at our circumstances and the evidence in front of us. But as we saw with Abraham, he was able to look beyond and up. Verse 21, was not our father Abraham considered righteous for what he did when he offered his son Isaac on the altar? So do you remember this whole promise given to Abraham? The promise was tied up in his children. And he gets his first child and God is saying, right, I want you to sacrifice him to me. Prove to me that you trust me by sacrificing your son. But of course, that wasn't what God was saying. God wasn't saying, prove to me that you trust me. God knows our hearts better than we do. That test was for Abraham to see if he was trusting in God. Would his actions match the trust that he professed for God? And of course he did. He was ready to do that. Verse 22, you see that his faith and his actions were working together. What he professed, yes, I trust in you, Lord, and I'm willing to do something I don't understand because I trust in you. Likewise with Rahab. It's when they're coming, the Israelites were coming into Jericho, and the whole city of Jericho knew that they had no chance with the Israelites. They knew that the God of the universe was with them. And Rahab said, our soldiers, their knees are shaking. And she was the only one to trust in God. Yeah, I now see the God of the universe. I see that he is with you people. I want to be with you people too. That's what she said. That's what she was trusting. And what were her actions? Well, she sent the spies away. She saved them from the Jericho army. Her actions matched her words. This is faith in action. The words in action. That's living faith. And the other thing, the other beauty of living faith is that it actually gives us assurance. All of this is for us. It's not for God. God knows us. God is the one who's given us faith. Our deeds prove that our faith exists to us. Our deeds don't bring about faith. Our deeds demonstrate that we've been given faith. Remember, this is always important. This is what James is saying here. James is not contradicting the rest of the Bible by saying that if you have deeds, you will produce faith. So there's faith. This is not what he's saying. And this is so often mistaken. James is not saying if you produce some deeds or actions, if you do something, then you will produce a faith that is accepted to God. That's not what James is saying. And that's not how faith works. Our faith is a gift from God. God knows who he's giving it to. How do we know? How have we got assurance that we've done it? How have we got confidence that we can act in that? Well, because our deeds and our actions flow from that gift of faith. They don't produce the faith. It's not, if I do this, then I will get that. It's rather, because I have this faith, I am able to live God. I'm able to take a leap, a jump into the unknown. That's what Abraham and Rahab did. Verse 23, and the scripture was fulfilled that says, Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. Abraham believed, he believed God, he professed faith, he acted on it. And in that test with Isaac, his only son, he had assurance that God had credited him with righteousness. God knows. God doesn't need tests. The tests are for us. It's for our assurance. And that's why we are compelled by Christ's love to live for him. Verse 24, you see that a person is considered righteous by what they do and not by faith alone. He's not contradicting the rest of the Bible. He's not saying we're justified by our actions and faith. We are justified by the faith that God has given us, and our actions will naturally flow from that if it's genuine faith, that gift from God. And genuine faith is a gift. And genuine faith will always prompt actions. But it's only in living that out, only in producing those actions, in confidence in God, that we will get that assurance ourselves. Remember this famous saying? The proof of the pudding, which often gets mixed up. It's often just left as the proof is in the pudding. That's not what it's saying. The proof of the pudding is in the what? In the eating. This, now do you trust me that this is the best wafer the world has ever made? Yeah? You accept that? This is the best wafer ever made. Do you trust me? Yeah? What if I just put it back? What would be a better test? Yeah. If you really want to know that this is the best wafer ever made, the proof is in the tasting. And that's what God says. God says, look, If you want to know whether you have saving faith, taste me. Psalm 34 verse 8, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in him. Until we live for him, until we take that step out, how will we know that our faith is genuine? Well, let's have a look at how that might look like. What's some of the actions of faith? What sort of examples will we see where we live out that faith? Well, particularly for kids and for adults, going against the flow is a big one, especially for kids, when peer pressure is so strong these days. What does it mean to live for God? What does it mean to live in the faith that he's given you? It means going against the flow, fighting peer pressure. What do you mean you're not going to have a drink or smoke a cigarette? What's the matter with you? A wimp? You're a Christian? You're a Bible basher? You're more like a chicken. What do we do in those circumstances? What are we going to do? Go, okay, I'd much rather just be with you. Even though I know I shouldn't be doing that, I'd much rather be with my friends. Or am I going to just walk away if I need to? And trust that God will somehow sort it out. It might mean abandoning your friends altogether. But am I going to live for God or live for the now? What are my deeds going to demonstrate I've got? Even though your friends might ridicule you, abandon you. Faith says that even though I'm probably not going to like that in this instant, I'm going to trust in God, and I know that in the long run, that's going to be better for me. Faith in action will be walking away. Standing for truth. Standing for truth, most commonly in the workplace. Standing for truth in the workplace, particularly now in our day and age, in our culture. We might be absolutely ridiculed by our boss who wants us to lie. The check's in the post. Or tell them that you've ordered it. Tell them that it's been sent when it hasn't. Are we going to lie if our boss insists on it? Or are we going to be forced to celebrate something at work which we know is detestable to God? Are we going to be pressurized to work on Sundays for the greater good of the company? We might even be called to call out falsehoods in some of those horrible diversity training sessions. And we will be ridiculed for that. What does faith in action look like that? What would faith in action be in that situation? At one end, it's just simply standing up, standing your ground, saying, no, this is not biblical truth. That's not how I live. At the other end, and you hope it doesn't get to that, the other end, it might be walking away. That's when James is saying, you can't have your feet in two camps. You can't have one foot and live as the world does and one foot in the church. And that might be an incredibly difficult scenario. But faith says, I'm looking beyond that. I'm looking beyond what's the immediate trouble that's going to bring on me. I'm looking beyond that and I'm looking up beyond the evidence of what that might bring to me. Faith in action says, I'm not just going to tell my colleagues I'm a Christian. I'm going to demonstrate I'm a Christian and how I live my life. And that's the assurance that we will get from that. That is faith in action. And then the last one, making a leap. Faith in action, or the actions of faith, might be making a leap into the unknown. Just like we saw with falling back here, sometimes it might be just taking a blind leap of faith. Let's have a look at a famous incident of when that happened.
Thank you.
leap of faith into the unknown. Did you see where he put his hand on his heart? Never mind. That's what faith in action is. But see, he could say, yeah, his dad, Sean Connery, saying, you must believe, you must believe. He can say, yeah, I believe, and then just turn around and walk back. What was the proof that he did believe? Was stepping out into the unknown. Those two previous things, going against the flow and standing for truth, that might involve that. That will be a leap, stepping out and saying, I don't know what's going to happen if I do this. But what I do know is that I trust in God more than anything else. My faith will see out my actions. But taking a leap into the unknown might be something quite small, might be simply be inviting someone to the cafe church. It might be someone that you've met recently, or your hairdresser that you got to know, or something like that. Taking a leap and inviting them to the cafe church, because sometimes that can be daunting. We don't know how someone's going to react. What? You invite me to church? What, are you a Nazi? You're a bigot or something? I don't have anything to do with those people. We're afraid that we're going to get something come back like that. We don't know how people are going to react, and it takes faith just to invite someone. But what we do know is that the faith that God has given us enables us to act on it. Genuine faith always leads to action. It doesn't lead to great, big, grand actions. Sometimes just small steps, but those small steps are enough to remind us, to tell us that God has given us genuine, saving faith. And the only way to have that assurance, the only way to know that we have that, is to act on it. That's the only way to know if our faith has a heartbeat. Let me pray.